Thanks for being with us on this Thursday afternoon. Well, my next guest worked as a family physician for 40 years and also currently maintains the website doclounge.net as an information sharing platform for BC doctors. And Dr. Zafar Essak joins me on the line now. Thank you so much for taking some time today.
Well, thank you, Jill, for having me.
You have recently written a letter, and this is addressing the Provincial Health Officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry, Health Minister Adrian Dix, as well as the Premier. And this is about dropping vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. Can you tell us a little bit more about the letter and why you wrote it?
Yeah, I wrote the open letter so that people could see what I'm thinking and have a chance to digest it themselves. And I hope it's clear enough. I hope people can find it easy to read. And I hope many of my colleagues, doctors, and also the public and the leaders read it. Because, you know, these are three important issues that are affecting healthcare in BC. And, you know, the one thing that really is my main concern is this continuing impact on 2,500 healthcare workers who cannot go back to work if they're not vaccinated. BC and Nova Scotia are the only two provinces that still continue to maintain restrictions on healthcare workers. And the rest of Canada and countries around the world, they've dropped that a long time ago. And even, what was it, last week on April the 6th, we saw that now people can go visit long-term care and acute care whether or not they've been vaccinated, but these people still can't. And these are doctors and nurses, they're paramedics, they're cleaners. They're people who worked and were working at the time this pandemic came out. You know, there's 1,000 nurses that haven't been able to work for 18 months. So it just doesn't make medical sense to me that these people were the ones who are working on the front lines. They would have had the best chance to develop natural immunity, and many of them proved that with tests back in October 2021 when they were asked, do you have reasons why you think you should still be allowed to work? And those were ignored. So, you know, I think this is a really important thing that really shouldn't continue, and it sort of dovetails with the second concern, which is Bill 36, which is that new Health Professions and Occupations Act that got passed pretty quickly in November 2022 with early closure of debate. And this legislation means that if a doctor or any other health professional speaks out about the dictates of government and is against it and speaks out against it, they can lose their license, they can be fined and put in jail. I mean, not only that, I think what's really troublesome about this kind of legislation is it's legislation that gets through the legislature, through Parliament, without being fully fleshed out. It's just full of holes, and then it goes back to the government, whoever's in power at the time, and they can change the regulations anytime they want in cabinet behind closed doors. This isn't a public debate about what they're going to do. So not only are health professionals being muzzled, this is a changing landscape.
I want to go back to something you mentioned and with the vaccine mandate, because I know Dr. Henry has been asked about this, as has the health minister, and even going back into the thick of things when vaccines were just starting to be rolled out. I remember her being asked during one of those news conferences, and her answer was something along the line of, I don't have a lot of time for healthcare professionals who don't get vaccinated. And she wasn't only talking about COVID-19. I think she was also talking about the flu shot and anything else you can do to kind of protect yourself and patients. You mentioned as well natural immunity, but isn't there still a bit of the jury being out on that as far as how effective that is?
Well, I think that, you know, being a family physician, a lot of what I find myself having to do all through my life is try to understand how does this fit with our knowledge and understanding of the human body? You know, and when you take a virus like COVID-19, the virus itself is actually made up of, what, 28 proteins. It's not just made up of a single spike protein. And so when we look at things like traditional vaccines, flu vaccines, and others, they would have a virus that is inactive, so it's kind of like pieces of a virus that we'd put into our body and allow our body to use its normal cells to pick up on that and then manufacture antibodies and T cells to deal with it. The messenger RNA vaccine is different, and it's different in that we are actually injecting into people's bodies a messenger RNA, which is a building block that we find within our bodies, in our cells. And it can get into different cells. It doesn't stay in one place. And when it gets into the cells, it uses the cell's own mechanisms, that body normally uses messenger RNA, to create a specific spike protein, which then comes and sticks on the outside of the cell, and the body then has to come in and get that and make antibodies to that spike protein. So, you know, anyone who, and now most of us have had exposure to COVID-19, even if we did have vaccinations before. So we probably, almost all of us, have natural immunity, at least having been exposed to it.
Right. And so what would your thoughts be then if a patient was concerned and if a patient was saying, I would really feel a lot more comfortable if my doctor, my nurse, anybody that I'm coming in contact with in a healthcare setting, I would be more comfortable if they were vaccinated. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say that we've allowed ourselves to not really openly talk about what is going on in the human body. We've really been subject to sort of a view that the expert is telling us what it is and they're giving us one answer. Because, you know, we've seen it. When people were vaccinated and they were allowed to come back to work, those people, whether they really showed signs of illness or not, they could still transmit the virus. They could pick it up from their spouse at home. They could come in and pass it on to patients. And we saw many examples of that, even to their own colleagues when they sat over lunch. So the thing that we have to understand is that the vaccines, well, they probably have never really said that they would prevent you from getting ill. There was a question as to whether they would prevent you from getting seriously ill.
Right. Although I seem to recall, or I mean, it seems like it was such a long time ago now. I thought when the vaccines first started coming out, there was, or maybe people just made the assumption that the message was it would stop you from getting ill. And then that changed, and it changed completely to what you just said. The message then became, it's not going to stop you from getting ill. It's going to stop you from being hospitalized or from dying.
Well, I think, you know, you touched it. You hit the nail on the head. It was a long time ago. Things have changed. The mandates have been lifted everywhere else, in Canada, except for Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. They've been lifted for every sector of our economy. People can go where they want. They can go traveling. They can go visit their loved ones in long-term care and acute care. But these 2,500 people are being not allowed to go back to work. So, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. They are no more at risk of passing something on to anyone else than anyone else, and we have no restrictions on anyone else.
Right. And is it also because of the timing and the fact that I think if I'm correct in remembering the vaccine requirement for healthcare workers that is still in place in BC, it's for the first two doses. I think it's the same as what it was when it was in place for traveling and some other rules. Does that make sense to you as well, that we're talking about vaccines now that people who did get them got them several months ago?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be at least, I mean, what was that, a year and a half ago? So we know that these vaccines, no matter what they are, don't provide long-lasting protection, whereas people who have natural immunity, their protection will last much longer anyway. I'm not against vaccinations. I'm just against the fact that we're not really making medical decisions, sound medical decisions here, right? That if it's okay for the rest of our society to carry on like normal, it surely is time that these people can go back to work. The fact that it's not being allowed really speaks to the fact that there is a manipulation going on here, in the sense that there's a desire by those people who have spoken, said that they want it to become a condition of the profession, a condition of work, that people are going to have to obey whatever dictates the government puts in through Bill 36 whenever they want, requiring people to follow their decisions. And even if you're a physician with all your knowledge and you're trying to explain it to your patient, you're not allowed to say something that doesn't fit with what they're saying. So that's why the delay, they're trying to get this new bill in place, which really, you know, if that ever happens, you don't know when you see a doctor, are they telling you what's best for you, or are they telling you what they've been ordered to say?
Right. And doctor, I'm wanting to go back as well. You just said, too, that you yourself are not opposed to vaccines, not against vaccines. Can I ask you if you got vaccinated for COVID-19?
Yes, I did get vaccinated for COVID-19 at the beginning. And quite frankly, you know, I'm not excusing myself, but I found it was very difficult, even as a physician. Mind you, I was not in practice at the time, but even then, you know, it wasn't easy for me to wrap my brain around exactly what this new type of vaccination was going to do. And there was a lot of concern everywhere about the effect it could have on people. So I think a lot of us just accepted that we didn't know enough and we better do it. But I think we've had time now to think about things. And we need to sort of establish the rules that, you know, we need to be able to talk openly,
right,
about what's going on, because we can't, we've had an announcement twice now from Dr. Bonnie Henry that maybe in the fall we're going to see mixed vaccines. Well, you know, that may be cheap and an efficient way to deliver, but these are two very different products. You know, and one of them is still in research timelines. So, you know, it doesn't make sense that you would combine them into one product, and so doctors and patients can only make a decision to take it together or not at all.
Yeah, I think you might see a difference in pickup or acceptance of it by the public, for sure. I'm curious if your thoughts, when you mentioned this as well, that other jurisdictions have lifted these mandates, is it something, do you think, is it still in place to be punitive, in that if we go back when there was the vaccine card to go to places like movie theaters or restaurants, that was never really about stopping spread. It was about punishing people and prodding them to get vaccinated. Do you feel that that's what this mandate still being in place is?
Well, I can understand people feeling that way, feeling that that's what was being done to them. And I think the fact that we have the ability then for government to just impregnate a bill, impregnate the rules of the College of Physicians and Surgeons and all other health colleges to insert whatever they want to impose on people. I mean, it could spread into other things, too, if doctors start to speak out about problems with the EMR, for instance. Are they going to suddenly be at loggerheads with the government because the government's rolling out something of their own idea about what EMR should be? It's just way too dangerous to allow this kind of stuff to be done without public discourse.
All right. Well, Dr. Essak, thanks for sharing the letter that you wrote and what's been posted on your website today with us. I appreciate you making the time. We'll have to leave it there, but thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. At doclounge.net, people can read it.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.